Praise to God. If you've got your Bible handy, go back to Jonah chapter number 3. Actually, we're going to start in, we're going to look at Jonah, the last verse of Jonah 2, and get started. Thank you, Mrs. Mix. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry ground." Don't you wish sometimes you could live your life backwards? There was a chief master sergeant in the Air Force in our church in Arkansas, and he said that life's a funny thing. You start off in a diaper, and sometimes you end up in a diaper, and sometimes you start off drinking, you know, through a tube or a bottle, and you end up at the end of your life doing the same thing. He says it's what happens in the middle that makes it whether your life matters or not and where it counts. And he was talking to these young troops, these young airmen, he was trying to motivate them. He got to talk to all the inbound folks that came to Little Rock Air Force Base, and he'd give them this talk about what happens in the middle, what happens in your life. You know, it may start like this, it may end like this, but right now is what you have and what you have control over. And some days I wish I could live my life backwards, you know. Now that I'm older and I'm wiser, I wish I could start off life knowing all of the lessons life have taught me and still have the ability to live, you know, still the ability to do things. You know, the older I get, I find that things hurt when I use them. Anybody else have that? I was on the road today, and my hair, I'm like, thank God Obed is playing guitar, because this hand's just not working today. And I've already dropped several things. I was trying to get coffee, and I'm just dropping stuff. And I mean, if I could live my life backwards and start off with all the wisdom, I mean, today I'm calmer than I was. Can you imagine? I'm calmer now than I was when I was in my 20s. I'm wiser now. I've learned some things, and it would be great to start off life with the health and ability and the wisdom. Wouldn't that be great? Man, I guess nobody else would like to have that. Huh? Is that how it is? In the Bible, chapter 2 and verse 10, I hear the voice of my preacher. Brother Bob Stewart pastored the Hillcrest Baptist Church in El Paso, Texas for many, many years. He's still there serving as the pastor emeritus. And he always said, experience is the best teacher if you're too dumb to learn any other way. That's what he'd say. How about you? If you ever do that to your kids, you know, people say, well, experience is the best teacher. Yeah. You know, I cut my finger off when I was 5. I wish I'd learned that lesson from somebody else rather than having to do it myself. Can I get an amen? How many of you got scars on the back of your head or the side of your head? You wish you'd learned that lesson from somebody else rather than you having to go through it. Huh? That's one of the crazy things about when you see people get the high and tight haircuts. You can see their childhood marked in their exploits. That's usually one of two things. It's usually, here, hold my beer, watch this, or this sounds like a good idea. It's one of those two things that the story usually starts off with, right? And you think, man, if I could have just learned that from someone else. If you were Jonah and you just got spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, you're probably bleach white from the acid of the whale's stomach. Your clothes have disintegrated down to rags. You know what I'm saying? You're lucky if you got a Speedo left. And now you have been vomited. Now, there's one thing about being dropped off. You know, it's okay if they stop the car, they give you a minute, they're polite, they open the door, you collect all your things. We were in New York, take the kids to New York. It's only 4 hours away, 4.5. It's wonderful. We went to New York, got a hotel right off Times Square. We all kind of piled in the car. And of course, there's 6 of us, okay? And all my boys are my size, and we're like, we ain't gonna fit. And the guy's like, no, come inside. So we get in there, and we're like this. And soon as and I'm no more got my foot in the door, and he takes off. And we go down from the Apple store, and we're heading back down to Times Square. And I can just feel me, you know, all folded up like an umbrella or an accordion. As soon as we popped the door, all my boys went, ugh, and we all got out. And I didn't but get my foot out, and because I'd already paid him, you know. I just swiped. It's like the door wouldn't open until I paid him. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting in the front, and as soon as I paid him, he has a receipt. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa! He took off without me. Imagine. You're not dropped off. You're not let out. You're puked out. There's a sight for you. You'll remember this at lunch today. That's what's going to be cool. You're going to be looking down at your reading. Oh, man. I hope I don't see you again. Now what you say to your food? I hope I don't see you again. Huh? And you think about it. He has been vomited out on dry ground. What would be going through your mind right now if you were Jonah? I'm alive! What a break! That's what I'd be doing. I'm like, whoa, man! I don't know how, but I got out of that. Oh, my! What would you be thinking? Ew, man. And it's bad enough to be covered in vomit. I got all this sand sticking to me now. Is that what you'd be thinking? Huh? I got a feeling some of you are going to walk through the portals of heaven or be escorted by the angels and go, am I at the right place? Because this ain't anything like I thought it was going to be. If I was Jonah, I'd be like, whoa, what a break. I'm through, I'm out. But it says in chapter 3 and verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Wow. The second time. Now, there's a whole message in this, but he's willing to talk to Jonah again. Remember the story. Jonah is his prophet. Jonah has already preached and talked to the king of Israel. And what he said came to pass. He is batting 1,000. He is known throughout the parts as God's man, with God's word, with God's call, doing God's business. And man, he's like got notoriety and everything's cool. So God, in the quiet of his devotions, goes, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he goes, here's my resignation. And he takes off and runs down to Tarshish. And God sends the wind and the seas whip up and the mariners throw out all of the wares of the ship, the lightness, so it won't be sunk. And so J.G. wake Jonah up. Jonah's asleep. He's hiding from God in the bottom of his ship. And they wake him up and go, you need to pray unto your God. And he goes, look, I already know what's going on here. I did this. I'm hiding from God, and that is why you're in the middle of this mess. So what are we supposed to do with you? Throw me overboard. Throw me overboard and it'll all stop. And they're like, no, I'm not going to be responsible for your blood. So they keep trying to row toward shore and it's not going to work. God leaves them in the storm. And that's when the mariners get saved. And they call upon Jehovah God and say, please don't hold this against us. We'll make vows. We believe. They made sacrifice and offering. And they said, we will. Okay. They said, Lord, he's hiding from you. We believe in you now. We're sorry for our sins. And they throw Jonah over. And it's calm. Like when Jesus said, peace be still. They saw it. And they're thinking to themselves, now what do we do? And the whale comes along and gets him. You know, at that moment, if you and I would think to ourselves, God's done with us. That's it. I missed my opportunity. I've done something. I should have done something and I didn't do it, or I did something I shouldn't have done, and now God is finished with me. God is done with me. God won't use me. My life is a mess and God won't use me. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And that's because God is the God of second chances. You know, God is not looking for flawless perfection in his servants. Because if that's what it takes to serve God, none of us could serve him, right? We're all a bunch of sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm just another sinner trying to tell somebody else how to find forgiveness. We're just sinners. But God doesn't want flawless perfection. God just wants your greatest ability to be your availability. Look at verse number 1 again. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. If you remember back in chapter 1, he says, you go down there and cry against that city. Why? Because their wickedness has come up before me. Well, why would God even care? They're not Jewish. Because God loves people. God loves all people. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there's none outside of all. All means all. All that ever was, all that is now, all that ever will be, God wants to see them saved. That's what God wants. So he goes down and he says, listen, you need to go tell them. And Jonah says, I won't. Well, now he comes to Jonah again. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes and verse 9, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Did you catch that? A living dog is better than a dead lion. Where there's life, there's hope. Maybe life didn't turn out the way you thought it would. Maybe when you were sitting in high school, and it wasn't all that long ago, that you were writing, you had like your little notebook, and when you would doodle, you'd think of a house and a white picket fence, and you'd think of 2.5 kids and a dog and vacations in Florida, or maybe you thought you would grow up and do ballet, or maybe you thought you'd be a fireman or an astronaut, and life didn't happen like you thought. Life happened in a different way. You think to yourself, God can't use me. God can't use me. Let me tell you something. God uses ordinary people. And God uses flawed people. Jonah had sinned. He told God no. Then he ran from God. He tried to hide it. And God still said, I'm going to come to you a second time. I'm going to come back. I'm going to ask you again. Because God doesn't go against our will. He never forces you against your will. Now, he may change your circumstances like he did Jonah's. And in chapter 2, he changed Jonah's circumstances. So Jonah is now willing to go to Nineveh. He has just been vomited out by a whale and realized, yes, Lord, I'll go. Verse number 2 of chapter 3, arise, get up, and get going. Go on to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Listen, God may not have a new revelation when he comes to you the second or third or fourth time. He may just ask you to get back to doing what it was you already knew to do. You know what I'm saying? If you're waiting for God to say something new unto you, let me tell you something. That isn't how God works. There are 5 things God expects out of every Christian. He expects them to read the Bible. He expects them to pray. He expects them to fellowship in church and be a member of a church. He expects you to witness. He expects you to tithe. These are the 5 things. I'll show you in the scripture if you'd like. God didn't come to Jonah with a new revelation. God came to Jonah with what he already knew and said, listen, get going. Go do what it is you know to do. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. But he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but that thou shalt do justly, and love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. You know, God is the God of the second and third and fourth chance. Oh, praise his name. You know, no matter how bad you've messed up, God will use you if you'll let him. Give him what's left. Say, here, I've kind of taken it, and I've messed it up, but here you go. And if I was Jonah and I got puked out of a whale, I don't care that I was covered in vomit and sand and all kinds of nasty stuff. God said, go. I went, okay. What a break. I'm out of the whale. Think about it. It isn't flawless perfection God's looking for. Don't wait. Don't say to yourself, I'll wait till I get closer to God. No, no. Do what God tells you to do now. You say, well, I've denied him. I've walked away from him. I used to be really close. Then he's talking to you today. He's saying, let's go. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to you a second, a third, a fourth time. I'm coming back. I'm the God of the second chance. Come back. And then verse number 3, it says, the prophet obeys. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now what's going on here is it's a city built along the Tigris River. So It probably isn't real wide, but it's definitely real long. If you've ever been to El Paso, Texas, it's 30 miles from Van Horn all the way around. Isn't it, Brother Edward? It's like 30 miles, 40 miles, all the way from the east side all the way around. That's a modern city today. So it's not hard to believe it took Jonah 3 days to walk it. It's a huge city. And look what it says here. It says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know, it's not a really elaborate message, is it? It's not really that elaborate. It's not really eloquent. There's no illustrations here. Did you know he didn't use a sermon outline? He just 8 words. That's all God needed, was just 8 words. He didn't need Jonah to have a doctorate. He didn't need Jonah to have the whole Bible memorized. He didn't need Jonah to have all this eloquent speech from a Bible college. He just needed Jonah to utter 8 words. You know, when God comes to you and says, listen, I'll use you if you'll let me. It's okay. Come to me. I forgive you. Come back. He's not going to. He wants you right where you are. Eight words is all he needed to affect this entire city. Eight words. Can you do that? Can you just do eight words? If God gives you a message for your cube bank tomorrow, can you just give him eight words? Yeah. He's the God of the second chance. He loves you. He's not done with you. The Bible says where there's life, there's hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Listen, if you're alive, God's got a plan for you. He's got something for you to do. He really does. He has a plan for you. So the city responds to just eight words. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believe God. Now this is what's crazy. The people of Nineveh worship the goddess Nanshi. She was the fish goddess. The daughter of Ea. The goddess of water and fresh water. And Dagon, the half fish, half man. These were the two god and goddesses that they worshiped. Nanshi and Dagon. So word of him being puked out on the shore from a fish probably made it back to the city. His own, the way he looked probably, when people started talking about it. He came out of the fish, the great fish. And he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now this is an outward sign of mourning, an outward sign of repentance. It's like this dark or black colored burlap. They take off all their fancy clothes and they just wear these burlap robes, and it's a sign of mourning. It's a sign of sorrow. Verse number 6, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? The city repents. Now, do you know what the word repentance means? It means to recognize your sin and to turn from it unto God. And in sorrow, when brokenness, say, I'm sorry. I have sinned and I have crossed you. I've hurt you. I've wounded you. I have shamed you and I'm sorry. This sin has separated me from you. I'm sorry. And at first, the first time you do that is when you get saved. When you come to a realization that you're a sinner and that your sin has separated you from God, and you come to him and you admit it. I remember when it happened to me. It was October 9th, 1990. That night I turned unto God and I said, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. You died for me. I believe it. Would you save me, please? And he did. That's repentance. But as a Christian, we still, you know, when you, do you bathe? I mean, do you bathe? Do you? Why? Well, because you get dirty. Being out and amongst folks, being out and amongst the world, you get dirty. And you need to bathe. And you know, the person sitting next to you appreciates it greatly. Right? Can I get an amen from the ladies in the crowd? Amen. If you've got a whole house full of teen boys, I ask every one of them, did you shower before you come to church? Did you? Did you? Did you? Did you? Did you? Huh? And we clean up the outside. But the problem is, as Christians, we forget to clean up the inside. You can't lose your salvation, but you still need to clean up on the inside. And as a Christian, we still need to be convicted of our sin and repent and turn to God and go, I'm sorry. Jonah does this in chapter 2. Jonah, after 3 days and three nights, breaks his pride in the belly of that whale. His circumstance just broke him, and he apologized, and he made it right with the Lord. He didn't lose his, he was God's man with God's call and God's word, doing God's plan. But he was rebellious. So God let circumstances happen that would break him And when it broke him, he turned to God and he repented. He made it right. Well, this is what the Ninevites are doing. They don't know the Lord God Jehovah. They don't know him. They've never heard of him. Or if they did, they didn't believe in him, because at this time they're a rising world power, the Assyrians. And in 100 years, they'll invade and take over the northern part of the kingdom of Israel. And they're a violent people, and they worship Dagon, the half fish, half man, and Nanshi, the fish goddess, and the goddess of fresh water. And they're worshiping that, and then they hear in 40 days Jehovah God is just gonna what? He's gonna bring his judgment. You know, this is the same message that the angels gave Lot, and Lot went out and told his son-in-laws, God's gonna overthrow the city, you need to come with me. And they thought he was a fool. They wouldn't listen. It's the same message that Noah gave for 100 years as he prepared the ark. The judgment of God is going to fall from the sky, and all will be consumed and decimated. Come with me. Come into the ark. Come with me. And they thought he was a fool. 8 words. That's all Jonah gave them. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It's the same message they've heard from the folklore and the history of Israel. And the king hears it, and he repents. And he turns to God and mourns and says, we're sorry. Do you realize that one person can actually make a difference? Jonah didn't have an entourage. Jonah didn't have an advance team. Jonah didn't have a bus traveling from town to town with big words on the side that says repentance, the repentance caravan. You know, he didn't have that. He was just walking. He didn't say he stopped by Joseph Banks and got a suit. It didn't say that he went to Kohl's and got a new pair of jeans. It just says that he left the fish where the fish died and walked into the city. And 8 words. One man with 8 words brought revival to a city. One man. I got to tell you guys, I don't think the modern day world has seen the effects of what one person can do who's totally submitted to God. I don't think we've seen it yet. One person. You say, well, that's all I am. It's just, you know, nobody else in my house really believes, nobody else where I work believes, or nobody in my unit or my brigade believes. I'm alone. I'm by myself. Nobody in my shop believes. Nobody where my go to my kids play or my school, or maybe you teenagers say, nobody in my class believes. I don't know of any other Christians. One person can make a difference. 8 words, one person. All you need is God's 8-word message. You think it's more complicated. No, it's not. One person makes a difference if they're submitted to God. So the city repents. Now, the reason I believe this is they actually come to Christ is because in Matthew 12 and verse 41, Jesus said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Look what it says in verse number 10 of Jonah 3. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Do you realize that deity responds to the choices of humanity? Deity responds to the choices of humanity. God did not make them do anything they weren't willing to do. God responded to the attitude of their heart. He responded to their repentance. He responded to their humility. He is the God of the second chance. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what's happened to you in life. But wherever you are and whatever's happened to you, God will respond if you'll come to him in humility and say, it's me, Lord. It's me. You and I used to be real tight. You and I used to be real close. But I know you haven't moved. It was me. It was me, Lord. I moved. And I'm back. God's, it says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, well, I think I do. Are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven when you die? I mean, is it settled? You know. What is it that's covering your sin? When did that happen? Well, I know Jesus died for my sins. Okay, when did you receive him as your Savior? Listen to me. You say, well, I'm a child of God. When did you become a child of God? When did that happen? You were there, I wasn't. When did that happen? How did it happen? If you're putting your faith and trust in being baptized or taking the Lord's Supper, man, your faith is in the wrong thing. If your faith is in being a member of this church, I think I got the greatest church in America, but that's not what saves us. It's our faith and trust in what he did on Calvary, asking him to save us and forgive us. He's the God of the second chance. I remember the times I've heard the gospel and told God no. I remember the times prior to October 9th, 1990, where I'd heard the gospel. I'd heard it when my wife had told my, at the time she was my girlfriend, and she told me it. Her parents told me it. Her friends told me it. The preacher, the church she would sing at, I heard the gospel. There was all these other people that told me about it, but I just never asked him for myself. Have you? He's the God of the second chance. If you're lost today, what I find in Jonah 3:2 is the essence of the gospel. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. The Bible says we're sinners. All of us have fallen short. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says in Romans 6:23 that there's a payment for sin, and that's death. But it says that the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'll just humble yourself and trust Christ by telling God, I'm sorry, it's me, it's my sin, I'm sorry, I believe Jesus died for me, you can walk out of here knowing you're a child of God. But I think the majority of you are saved. I believe that. I don't know everybody in the room, but you've told me your story, so I believe it. But so now that you're a Christian, he's still the God of the second chance. You're saved and you know it, but are you wayward? Are you a believer that have broken fellowship with God because you have a sin that you have sins that keep you, you know, out of fellowship with him? You're saved. You're going to heaven. But he's the God of the second chance. You're going to have an opportunity to talk to him here in just a minute. But several of the promises God gives us in the Bible are conditional upon the attitude of our heart. Did you know it says to Christians, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you know that the word if is a powerful word? It's conditional. If we will admit it. If we will admit to God, or another way a preacher told it one time was if we'll just get honest with God and agree with him. He already knows. He already knows what we're like. He already knows where we've been. He already knows what we've done. And he already knows. And if we'll just admit it, if we'll just get honest with him, get clean with him. One preacher said it, get naked with the Lord. I'm not sure I like that illustration. But how about you? When's the last time you got totally honest with him? You know how it is with your kids. You know what happened. You're just wanting them to come around to say, yeah, it was me. I did that. You already know. Maybe you saw it. Maybe you got one of those baby cams and you were checking. You're sitting at the kitchen table chopping up carrots and all of a sudden you look and Junior's doing something he shouldn't and something gets broke. And you're just wanting them to admit it. When's the last time you got totally honest with God? Totally, unreservedly honest and came clean. See, God is the God of the second chance. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name, you're God's child, you know it, you've been saved, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know it, you know for sure, you know that you know that you know. That's what my preacher would say. Huh? If my people, if, see it starts with that word again. If my people, it's conditional. Deity will respond to humanity if. if we'll respond in humility. Deity responds to humanity if humanity responds in humility. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven. Do you know that verse? And will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do you know that verse? God is the God of the second chance. Maybe you found yourself today here this morning and you feel like Jonah. You've been away from God, and God has changed your circumstances and put you through the storm. Gave you an all-expense-paid cruise of the lower parts of the Mediterranean in the belly of whatever whale you're suffering through right now. Whatever struggle, whatever trial, whatever affliction, whatever betrayal, whatever it is, you find yourself today feeling like you've just been vomited upon the shores of life. God's coming to you right now and saying, listen, I'll use you. I accept you back. Come on. I'm going to bring you close. If you've got a rebel in your life, don't push him away. You bring him close. That's what God does. When God disciplines us, when we rebel, what he does is he tries to pull us close to his heart. Because the closer we get to God's heart, the more our humility, the more our pride breaks. And in humility, our heart draws closer to him. Don't push your rebellious kids away. Pull them super close. So let me ask you a question. Child of God, son of and daughter of the King, are you called by his name? Are you his child? Are you ready to humble yourself and pray, to seek his face, to turn from your wicked ways? See, the result is then I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I'll hear their land. If deity will not move until humanity moves. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Christian, are you right with the Lord today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If in your heart of hearts, are you right with God? Number two, are you that one person that God has in that place of business, that office, that school? Are you that one person that God can use to change the entire city? Can you be that one person? Jonah did it very reluctantly. And with just 8 words, God used his message to do something incredible. Can you be that one? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, and I ask today that you would speak as only you can. That one person can make a difference if we'll just submit. I ask, Father, please, if there's some among us today that's lost, they've never trusted Christ as their Savior, not even sure any of this is real, I ask, Father, that you would convince them and convict them, that you would show yourself mighty and answer their prayers. And for us, your children, Father, tell us, speak to us, show us how we can be the one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd like to do business with God, if you'd like to be sure you're going to heaven, I ask you to have the courage to step out and come forward. Let me take my Bible and show you how to know Christ. Christian, won't you come forward and just say, God, I'm nothing, but use me if you can. Use me. I believe you can. Use me. I can utter 8 words. Come. Won't you speak? Come to thee, O
just as I am and waiting.
How about you? Just 8 words. That's all God needs. Just one person willing. Just one willing servant. That's all.
To thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot.
I want to be that difference maker. I want to be that one. Is your marriage in the well right now? Your relationship on the rocks? You find yourself like never in a place you never dreamed. You didn't see this. You didn't expect this. But if something doesn't change, you know it's over. Won't you come? Won't you let God put back together that which has been broke? Won't you let him mend up that which has been torn? Come and pray with me. Let's seek the Lord.
Just as I am, I would be lost. But mercy and grace, my freedom bought. And now
God is not looking for flawless perfection. He's just looking for availability. Your greatest ability is the ability to avail yourself to Him. Won't you come? Just say, God, I'll deliver your message.
I come broken to be mended. I come wounded.
Maybe life's just, you've been betrayed.
I come desperate. Come.
Come, speak to the Lord today. He'll heal you.
I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of
Can you be the one?
And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God.
Our Father and our God, we love you and we are so thankful that you are the God of the second, third, and infinite chance. God, I'm so thankful that you don't throw us away. God, that you will not cast us aside, nor will you leave us behind. Father, we are thankful that even with the testimony of Jonah running, we know that we can be brought back ever so close. We're thankful that you love us. Father, it's good to know that you won't leave us or forsake us. So, Father, as we go from this place today, let us take that message of the ever faithful, ever loving God to this world of people who don't know him. They don't know you. And, Father, may they, like the king of Nineveh, repent and trust him. Trust you like never before. Now, I ask, Father, today that you would allow us to be that one. Wherever it is we work, wherever it is we live, let us be that one so that others will hear. Father, bless these people. Keep them safe. Return them back tonight. We'll worship and serve you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Alex Way.